Welcome to Torah Imecha Machshava, Cultivating Connection with the OU Women's Initiative. Cultivating Connection is dedicated by Suzette and Michelle Allen and family in memory of Paul and Ilse Besch and Gabriella Besch Allen of Munich, Germany, and in memory of the Louvre family of Pasewalk, Germany. May their neshamos each have an aliyah as we learn together. My name is Sivi Zuckerman, and today we're beginning to explore our next theme, connection with others. Connection with others is one of the most fundamental human needs. We have this really deep need to be seen, heard, valued. But even though we crave it, we sometimes talk about connection like it's this soft, dreamy thing that should just magically appear in our lives, a Hallmark moment or something Hollywood scripts for us. But real connection, whether with ourselves or with people around us, isn't magic. It's a process. It's something we build. Something we practice. And practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes progress. The experience of connecting with another person actually starts inside of us, as we've discussed, with a connected and developed inner world. When I'm in touch with my own inner world, I'm able to share myself with someone else, and I'm also able to hold space when they share themselves with me. Those two pieces, sharing and holding space, are really the foundation of connection with others. Holding space means that I can be with a person in whatever they're going through, without judging them, without making them feel small or broken, and without trying to control their choices or their process. And because connection is something we experience, this can't stay in our head. It really has to reach the deeper layers of who I am, that place where my heart is open and I can offer support without judgment or control. The biggest threat to connection is zaras, disconnection, which, as we've learned, also begins inside of us. But what does my internal disconnection have to do with how I connect with you? Here's the idea, simple but powerful. All connection rests on interconnection. My ability to hold space for you is limited by how much I can hold space for myself. If I can face my own vulnerabilities and flaws with compassion, I'll be able to offer that to others. But if I see my needs as weaknesses, if I neglect them or deny that I need help or support, something subtle happens. When I help others, I may think I'm coming from compassion, but underneath, it might come through with a hint of condescension. Because if I don't respect my own needs, on some level, I'll look down on others for theirs. And the same thing happens with our flaws. If I believe my flaws make me bad, and I shut them down or criticize myself, or I can't even admit them because I'm ashamed, then when I see those same flaws in someone else, I'm likely to react with criticism, or fear, or even anger. My instinct is to judge them or fix them, and judgment shuts down connection. Now, I can try to tell myself logically, I accept my needs, I embrace my flaws, but if that acceptance doesn't penetrate deeper, if it doesn't reach the emotional layers and the core of my experience, I feel the mismatch instantly. We all know the difference between someone who truly accepts us versus someone who's smiling politely but quietly judging. We pick up on that in a second. So real acceptance of others has to come from a place of developed inner connection. And when we are connected to ourselves, we're able to notice much more quickly when something in an interaction starts to feel off, when we suddenly feel criticized, dismissed, or unseen. And sometimes the first clue is the dynamic itself. I had a conversation like this recently. We were both talking, but we weren't actually hearing each other. And suddenly I had this light bulb moment. Oh, if we're not hearing each other, we're disconnected. And if I'm disconnected from someone else, I must be disconnected from myself. That kind of moment invites us to turn inward. What am I feeling? Sad? Hurt? Afraid? What's happening in my body? Is my heart racing? Is my jaw clenched? Even that simple noticing is already reconnection. And once I attune to myself, I can figure out what I need internally before I can then turn outward and try to reconnect with the other person. And so to maintain connection, especially under stress, we first need to notice our disconnection. One of the easiest places to find disconnection is in the Midah of Hakpada, that quiet internal feeling of irritation or resentment. Revolba explains that someone who isn't attuned to himself might not even be aware of his Hakpada. If you start paying attention, you'll see it, maybe dozens of times a day. Someone cuts you off in traffic, someone answers sharply, someone says no when you hope they'd say yes. Those little flashes of annoyance, those are Hakpada. And Revolba says that even the most good-natured person has Hakpada inside. The key is recognizing the disconnection that comes with it, instead of pretending it isn't there. And that allows us to begin the real work of connection. So here's a practical exercise. Try noticing how many times you feel that little spark of irritation with someone throughout the day. Keep a tally in a phone note, in your planner, whatever works. And at first, you want a high number, because the more you notice, the more aware you're becoming. We all disconnect from others. The real question is, how often are we aware of it? Once we're aware of our disconnection, we can pause, reconnect internally, and from that place, begin to move toward connection with others. I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation tomorrow.